Good evening. Welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program, as Nitish Kumar takes oath as Bihar Chief Minister, this time with the full support of the BJP, and as three Congress MLAs quit the party in Gujarat ahead of crucial Rajya Sabha elections, we have a simple question to ask. Is it essentially all over for the Congress, or for that matter, the opposition, as far as the 2019 elections are concerned? Is the Modi Shah juggernaut just far too strong for Rahul Gandhi to even remotely be able to handle this? Well, that's going to be our first debate tonight. Also coming up on the program, after all the pothole madness in Mumbai, RJ Malishka joins us and speaks about a parody which had the Mumbai municipality all upset, with some in the Shiv Sena threatening her with massive defamation suits. We'll come to that in a moment. But first, the top story. The events in Bihar completely changing the national political landscape in India as state after state in the country turned saffron. The opposition left protesting, with Rahul Gandhi saying today people will do anything for selfish gain.
Another BJP alliance government takes shape in the Hindi heartland. Another step forward in the BJP's march to victory in 2019. It was, however, marked with haste, what the BJP critics called unseemly haste.
The swearing in was initially fixed for 5 p.m., but then preponed to 10 a.m. in the morning, perhaps to prevent rivals of the BJP and JDU from querying the pitch. Nitish Kumar and Sushil Modi were the only ones to take oath today. The other ministers are likely to be sworn in once Nitish Kumar wins a trust vote on the floor of the House. That trust vote is scheduled to happen tomorrow.
But that vote may be a formality. There has so far been no major backlash. The only question mark, Nitish Kumar's senior partner in the JDU, 70-year-old Sharad Yadav, also a Rajya Sabha MP. Since last evening, Sharad Yadav has not said a word. This morning he was not present at the swearing-in. Instead, he is in Delhi, where he met Congress Vice President Rahul Gandhi. One of JDU's 10 Rajya Sabha MPs, Virendra Kumar, has openly voiced his opposition.
It is unbelievable and shocking. We wanted him to do leadership of the entire nation.
Rahul Gandhi, caught off guard yet again, claimed Nitish's U-turn was long in the making. Meanwhile, the action against Lalu and his family intensified. The Enforcement Directorate filed a corruption case against the ally he dumped.
The speed at which political events unfolded in Bihar in the last 24 hours would have surprised some, but perhaps the move would have been on for many months now. A hallmark of the approach of the Narendra Modi-Amit Shah combination. The look-ahead question right now is Bihar, just a trailer for what's likely to happen in the 2019 Lok Sabha polls. In Patna with Kaushal Kishore Pathak and Manish Kumar, this is Alok Pandey, NDTV.
Well, the question we are asking is this Mahagathbandhan, that's obviously all now in shambles. What about opposition unity, or are these phrases that perhaps need to be thrown away, because there doesn't appear to be any of that? With Amit Shah and Narendra Modi, the fact of the matter is that the opposition in this country stands decimated. And come 2019, many people would say that the opposition, certainly not the Congress, doesn't seem to have any chance at all. Or do they? That's what we're looking at today. Ajay Alok, spokesperson of the JDU, joins us. Gaurav Gogoi from the Congress with us as well. Swati Chaturvedi, the journalist and author with us. Rakesh Sinha of the RSS. And Mihir Sharma, the senior journalist and senior fellow at the Observer Research Foundation, with us as well. I'd like to come to Ajay Alok first. Mr. Alok, just a few years back, there was this big sense of optimism that Nitish Kumar had associated himself with secular forces. There was this big talk of the Mahagathbandhan. There was a talk of forming an anti-BJP alliance. A lot of people say that his politics yesterday and today is the politics of himself. It's all about doing his whatever it works for his own politics. It's not about a cause. The cause has been forgotten. How do you respond, sir?
Well, Vishnu, is nothing new to us. When in 2013 we parted ways from NDA, we were said that we are doing opportunistic politics. And 2017, when we are back with NDA, again we are accused of doing opportunistic politics. So there is nothing new. But one thing you have to remember,
so
why we did this
opportunistic
today.
Politics is okay. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. Because
it was
exactly never opportunistic politics, even today.
But that's exactly
I'm
what
saying
you're
saying.
You're
justifying
opportunistic politics.
I'm saying we were accused of doing opportunistic politics.
But then you were doing opportunistic politics,
because
weren't
no
you?
Fight can... No, not at all.
Okay.
Because you cannot do any politics in this country with corruption in one hand.
But you didn't know about the charges against Lalu when you came to power, or his entire history of so many cases when you decided to ally yourselves with him?
Let me tell you some facts now. Lalu Yadav was not supposed to contest any election, number one. Lalu Yadav couldn't have occupied any constitutional post, number two. Number three, for the first time in their history, RJD in 101 candidates, none of the candidates had any criminal antecedent. This was done for the first time because it was agreed in Grand Alliance that no tainted person will be given tickets, and RJD did it for the first time. Our ministry, our cabinet was such a smooth and formed ministry with none of the any tainted image. And the Mahagathbandhan was doing a good job.
Okay. But so a lot of people would say, Ajay, a lot of people would say that despite what you point out, there was so much to suggest that Nitish Kumar, and I have so many examples, was strongly opposed to Narendra Modi. Today, Narendra Modi and Nitish Kumar are together as political forces. Be that as it may, I want to go across to Gaurav Gogoi. Gaurav, Rahul Gandhi was supposed to be in charge of ensuring that the Gathbandhan remained intact in Bihar. He was supposed to be the person reaching out to Nitish Kumar. In the end, Nitish Kumar apparently never even told Rahul Gandhi that, look, I'm going to end this alliance. Rahul Gandhi apparently was telling people that everything is okay even day before yesterday. Does he not understand what is happening all around him?
I don't know. I think you're disproving your own point, Vishnu. If Rahul Gandhi was saying that a few months ago that there is a sense in the air that the JDU is about to betray the people of Bihar, betray the historic mandate that was given, then Rahul Gandhi ji has been proven right. Today I feel sorry for the people of Bihar that they have gone into an election voting against BJP, voting against the Bahari. The election was all about Bihari versus Bahari. And the election was about the people of Bihar defending the DNA of Bihar. And now we have seen the Prime Minister, who earlier found something suspect in Nitish Kumar ji's DNA, and Nitish Kumar ji terming the Prime Minister as Bahari. Now these two have come together. Now if Mr. Nitish Kumar, the Honorable Chief Minister, had such an issue with the RJD, then you should have gone to the people of Bihar and said that, listen, I want a fresh mandate, give me a majority, let us go to elections.
No, but so
again,
what of the point
why
is that you criticize Nitish Kumar?
I tell you why.
And perhaps
you're
fully in your rights to criticize him. The fact of the matter is he's already done this. What were you doing all this time? And let's move away from Gujarat, from Bihar for a moment and look at Gujarat. You've lost three MLAs today. Before that, you lost Shankar Singh Vaghela. One of the MLAs you lost today is your chief whip. Tomorrow, he's going to put in his nomination papers and he's going to contest potentially against Ahmed Patel, the right-hand man of the Gandhis. Where does that leave you in Gujarat?
Vishnu, from this day onwards till 2019, there are going to be elections in Gujarat, Karnataka, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Meghalaya, and many other states as well. And I'm going to tell you that just forget daily headlines. In all of these election-bound states, the Congress is in a very good position. Despite what has happened today in Gujarat. Congress is still in a good position in Gujarat. The people are with the Congress. They are getting away from the BJP.
Okay, well,
so is in Karnataka.
Okay.
So is in Meghalaya. So is in Rajasthan. So is in Madhya Pradesh.
Okay, well, let's see if that optimism continues. Swati, if you look at the broader picture, Mulayam, humbled, Mamta, beleaguered, Nitish out of the way, Aam Aadmi Party hammered legally in Delhi. The Congress did get the most votes in Goa and Manipur, but they still managed to find a way of not coming to power. Vaghela has quit the Congress, now another three MLAs. What is the bigger picture over here as far as the opposition is concerned?
Well, Vishnu, just look at how it started. It started in Assam when Sarma left and gave them such a beating. He gave them BJP an entry into the Northeast. And as if Mr. Gogoi is saying that Rahul Gandhi was aware for 3 months that Nitish Kumar is about to bolt, what in the world was he doing? Why was he not preventing it? He was Nitish Kumar's main interlocutor. They had said that he'd got the alliance together. So what was he doing all this while? He was just frittering away the chance. Why didn't he run down to Patna? Why didn't he get down Lalu and Nitish on the table and even get Tejaswi Yadav to resign? I mean, has the Congress party lost all its political smarts? Their own chief whip defects and is contesting an Ahmed Patel, which would have been unimaginable a couple of months ago to lose an election, is almost a near certainty of what is going on with the Congress.
Okay, Gaurav, you want to reply very briefly to that before I go across to my other panelists? What's going on in the Congress?
You know, it's very fashionable. It is fashionable amongst the media circles to pass disparaging remarks about the Congress party. But the fact of the matter in Bihar is, people have to remember that JDU was not the single largest party. It was the RJD. And over the months after the election, the RJD, with its strong stance against Modi ji, was becoming more and more popular when it took strong issues on demonetization. JDU, with its neither here nor there policies, sometimes supporting the presidential candidate of NDA, sometimes supporting
Nitish Kumar never even bothered to tell Rahul Gandhi that he's quitting the alliance. What is the point? The question is the Congress. It's longer alliances which have been lost.
If JDU is so insecure, if the JDU is so insecure, despite the Congress telling everyone that let's have the alliance together, the people of Bihar voted the Mahagathbandhan against the BJP, against the agenda, the destructive agenda of Prime Minister Modi.
Ajay Alok, you wanted to respond. Ajay, go ahead.
Despite this, if JDU doesn't care about the people
of
Bihar,
I would like to say, Mr. Tarun Gogoi, I'd just like to remind him about the feudal mindset of the Congress, which has what happened in Assam.
You mind yourself
when Nitish Kumar got Praful Mahanta and Badruddin Ajmal to your table, you refused to talk to them. And look what the result happened in Assam. The similar thing went in UP, when you took a different approach towards Samajwadi Party.
Yes, Mr. Ajmal,
knowing what was the role of Samajwadi Party in Bihar's election.
Mr. Ajmal lost the election. That's what happened.
We have always supported the Prime Minister on the issue of national interest. May it be demonetization, may it be surgical strike. If that hurts you, that's not our problem.
No, but some time back,
if Rahul Gandhi
went
to war for the last 3 months, was knowing everything.
Okay,
why didn't he tell anybody that yes, Nitish Kumar is running out?
Today, Venkaiah Naidu
today also.
Okay, let's not make this a Congress versus JDU issue.
Kumar was going to resign.
Rakesh Sinha,
he called up.
Rakesh Sinha, come in over here.
Him.
The fact of the matter is, it is no coincidence that the Prime Minister called up Nitish Kumar less than an hour after he decided to call it quits on prime time, effectively. The tweet started coming out almost instantly. This is less about Nitish Kumar's concern about corruption in the RJD and more about realizing that his political fortunes presently lay with the BJP. It was pre-planned.
Look, first I would make an observation on you used the term opportunism for Nitish Kumar. You know, Nitish Kumar was chief minister of that Gathbandhan. Now he is a chief minister. He didn't get anything extra. He would have been the chief minister of that.
Look.
What is the gain, Nitish Kumar? Nitish Kumar is getting criticized. This is the gain. Look, Nitish Kumar was chief minister, is chief minister. No extra gain for Nitish Kumar. This is the only thing that Lalu Yadav's family was becoming liability on Nitish Kumar government. JDU is confined to Bihar. It's responsibility to the people of Bihar. And you know the law and order, corruption, these things were chasing the Nitish Kumar. he is very much, as far as Nitish Kumar is concerned, very much image-centric personality. He always cares for his image. And that is one reason, that is for JDU, but I am coming to that point. You know, for the Congress party, you have a big signboard, I agree, big leadership name. You also have legacies, but you don't have organization. Okay. If you want to build to 2019, you have to create workers. You have to go to the villages. You have to, not only the anti-BJPism, anti-RSSM is not the panacea for opposition unity. Because that is just like a Bhanumati ka kunwa.
Okay, well, one way or the other, that is obviously something that the BJP presently seems to have and the Congress is struggling to get, but Gaurav Gogoi says he's optimistic about the future.
One second. You know, Rahul Gandhi was least interested in mediation between JDU and
RJD. You saw
RJD.
The results, Vishnu, was not interested in Goa and Manipur.
Because Rahul Gandhi,
if our organization
doesn't
was so
want
weak,
that any competition in the opposition, that he wants to be a supreme leader in the opposition.
May it come in over here. The fact of the matter is, between Narendra Modi and Amit Shah, they want the Gandhi family to be removed from all trappings of power they have, which is why they're going after Ahmed Patel in Gujarat. Would that be correct?
You know, I would have said a few years ago that would make sense. But the longer, however, that the Gandhi family stays in control of the Congress without being able to revive that party's fortune, you have to wonder whether it's in the Prime Minister's and in the BJP's interest at all to get them out of power. So I don't think that, they're not moving quickly on in the National Herald case. They're not moving, they're not putting Robert Vadra in jail. They don't see any urgency in getting the Gandhis out of power. Why should they? The Gandhis in power in the Congress is just fine for the BJP.
No, but just tell us about the development which has taken place today. The fact that you've got Balwant Singh Rajput, chief whip, now set to turn against the Congress decisively. What does that show about the lack of organization in such an important state?
Well, you know, there are two ways to look at this, and which way is right will only be determined on the basis of the eventual results. The first way to look at it is this is a party in a state that knows it's going to lose yet again. And, you know, you'll have people at that point obviously switching over. The other way of looking at it is that in any party that has a fairly long history, you have to be able to manage generational change. And part of the generational change in Gujarat, to give it a new appearance there, may have been to sideline Mr. Vaghela. And once you sideline a leader like that, his loyalists will be unhappy. There is no way that you can do that, you can make that kind of change in any location without upsetting some people. Now, we don't know which of these two forces, these two parallel things, is actually going to be more powerful until after the election.
Vishnu, one more thing as far as Rahul Gandhi is concerned. When you lack vision, because incapability is a product of vision deficit. Vision deficit is a mother of incapability. That is one of the reasons that Rahul Gandhi is not reconciling that there should be a minimum democracy in the party. Unless you have minimum democracy in party, you give importance to others. And you maintain that political feudalism would lead you to be a supreme leader, it can't help. We need in democracy opposition parties, but not like that. Only anti-Modi propaganda, anti-RSS propaganda. People want some program, concrete program from the opposition parties.
Gaurav, go ahead.
Vishnu, if Professor Rakesh Sinha is so in the advice of giving advice to the Congress party, let me also give some advice to the RSS and his colleagues. Please stop lynching people in the name of cow.
Sure.
Please stop lynching people in the name of
religion. We are doing everything.
Please stop inciting young people into arms training. Give them jobs. Give them skills. Please stop dividing our country. Do not create this lynching culture, mob culture by your anti-Romeo squads, anti-love jihad squads. I don't know how much anti. The RSS is full of anti. They are anti-Congress, anti-students, anti-farmer. No. So my sincere advice to the RSS is please concentrate on your organization and your faulty ideology which is dividing our nation.
Give me 10 seconds.
Okay, I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. I know you want to respond to that, but we could keep going on and on. The fact of the matter is that the Congress at this stage appears to be lost, as does the opposition, as the BJP goes from strength to strength. What happens now in terms of any form of united opposition? Perhaps no answers to that at this stage. We're going to quickly move on. She's the RJ who became a social media sensation after she parodied the Shiv Sena-run Mumbai municipality. In exchange, the Brihan Mumbai Municipal Corporation landed up at the doorstep of Marishka and said that potted plants that she had at her home were attracting mosquitoes and were a dengue threat. And therefore, she had to pay a fine. Not to be outdone, Marishka said, nothing doing, and plans to come out with a series of new parodies. I spoke to her earlier today. These new videos of yours, are they all parodies? What exactly are you targeting? It was potholes earlier on. What are you going to be targeting now?
Hi Vishnu, how are you doing?
I'm doing perfectly well now. How are you doing? And is it true that you are breeding mosquitoes in your house?
I'm doing brilliantly well.
It's a very serious allegation. Do you have mosquitoes in your house in potted plants?
Oh, it's possible, it's entirely not possible. First of all, I want to clarify that yes, they did come to my house. This was reported to me by my building and by my mom. They actually came to the building and they checked up on quite a few houses and they found the eggs, apparently, in a lot of houses. The only difference was that my eggs were apparently all over the newspaper with my home address. That was the only thing. Otherwise, it was just as normal. The same paper that went to everyone came to me. There has been no 10,000 rupee fine imposed as reported by news media. That was absolutely inaccurate. Along with a lot of other rumors that came up. But yes, this one is absolutely accurate that they went to my house. Okay. It was a very respectful exchange and they found something in some water apparently outside the house. And that was about it.